You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99, the comedy channel. We're here after the great Dave Juskow.
Juskow, amazing job.
The year of the Godfather. And my co-host, Mr. Dan Natterman, played Michael Corleone.
It was amazing.
And we're here with Dave Juskow. Russ Manee played Sonny Corleone.
Yes.
And we have Richard Klein from Three's Company, who played Sulazzo.
Sulazzo, the Turk. Yeah, thank you very much.
But in Three's Company, you should mention he played Larry Dallas, short for Dallyopolis, which was revealed in one episode.
Right.
The sleazy...
Dan's a super fan.
The sleazy upstairs name. Well, that series carried me through my childhood, effectively.
Wow.
That makes me kind of old, but go ahead.
Well, you're talking about Three's Company now,
I'm talking
right?
about Three's Company.
Three's Company was an amazing...
We mentioned The Godfather.
Yeah.
we're moving on. So first, I want to thank publicly, I want to thank Dave Juskow for doing this Godfather thing.
Thank you.
It's one of the nice things that goes on at the Comedy Cellar is doing these kind of labors of love that various comedians have. And everybody loves The Godfather. And
right.
Dave's he's very, very humble. I don't know, you know, he came to me like, would you mind? Like, maybe we could get him. I'm like, that's a great idea.
We didn't know if it was going to be good or not. I can't.
Why wouldn't he be humble? He's a data entry clerk at a law firm.
But that's first of all, that's the start of every success. Who knows if it's going to be good or not? You believed in it. You did it. And it was great. And that's a huge fucking
can
thing,
we just,
dude.
Can we just say what it is for those who aren't familiar? We do a reading of The Godfather. Okay. It's a parody of The Godfather, effectively. Some of the lines are really from the movie, but many of the lines are Dave made up.
And, we doctor it.
And it's very funny. And the audience seemed to love it.
Yeah, today I think we did it well.
And did it well. Coppola famously got a lot of shit for casting Al Pacino as Michael Corleone.
That's what I heard.
Similarly stood by Dan Natterman.
Damn right. He was amazing.
I
told you, because my plan was I was going to switch it to be myself at this point. But Dan was doing such a great job. I didn't want to ruin it. He was doing great. He was doing it exactly the way I would have done it anyway.
Now, my wife had a few notes.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
First of all, she thinks that Sonny ought to wear a wife beater.
Oh, okay.
So obvious,
yeah.
I know.
She says,
I blame myself for that.
Yeah, she's like, you know, come on. If you're going to do it, you know? And then Dan should bring a pencil to rehearsal and write down the script notes. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Hey, he wore a button-down shirt today. I asked him to do that.
Right.
He looked good.
Yeah, I'm wearing this tight shirt. And I'm sweating like an animal.
Yeah.
And I had to put napkins under my arm because I get so sweaty.
You do?
Yeah, but then in the middle of the show, I noticed it wasn't under there. And I'm like, shit, is it about to fall out onto the stage?
Did it?
No, it did not.
I don't
think
it did.
No, it didn't.
And I also want to say one last thing, and then I'll let Dan run the rest of this thing. Mr. Klein.
Yes, Mr. Gnome.
Mr. Dorman. There is really something noticeable when a real actor delivers lines, and I didn't really appreciate it until I noticed this actually the last time you did it. There is just something different, right? You're about a real actor.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but
it was fantastic to see.
I don't know about you guys, but I feel I was just insulted. I can't speak for Russ, and I can't speak for David.
Well, Noam just took out the whole cast.
Yeah.
By the way,
in one fell swoop.
I know what he's saying.
You guys are a bunch of egotists.
It makes a lot of sense. It's very obvious that Richard knows.
Just let me tell you something. A lot of actors can't do what you guys do. Okay. They can't do stand-up.
Can't bang waitresses? You're right.
Hello.
That's Noam's specialty. He married one, by
the
way.
That's my specialty. What about Russ Manee?
Oh, my God.
But it's true.
Easy. I got sandbagged here.
It's true because people say, you know, because in real life, and I have witnesses, I'm actually a funny person. They say, why don't you do stand-up? And I say, no fucking way, because I know great stand-up when I see it, and I could never do that unless I actually sat down and tried, which I never have.
Also, to be a stand-up, you have to be fearless. I mean,
totally
fucking fearless.
Totally fearless. I heard Lewis Black talking on a talk show, an NPR one. He says he works forever on a joke. He works 3-4 months working material.
Because he's
an
idiot.
Goes to small clubs.
Yes, Juskow!
Have you ever done a one-man show acting?
Yes.
And what's that like?
But I didn't write it. It was written for me. It was called Boy Chick. I did it all over the country for about 10 years. And that's tough. But that was acting. It wasn't comedy.
Well, I will say this, by the way, and I was talking with Russ just a few minutes before the podcast. I really enjoyed myself tonight. And, you know, after doing some of these Godfather shows, three words come to mind. Fuck stand-up.
Yeah. Right? It's so much better.
It's so much more fun. Yeah. There's less pressure. I don't have to get a laugh every 2 seconds. You know, and I'm with friends up there.
Yeah. That's the best
part.
And
if only I could do this for a living.
Well, I think new stimulation is
That's true, too. Something new.
That's a huge thing.
Doing this with your friends is the best part.
Because any actor that was doing acting for years and years and years that was given the ability to do what you do would be stimulated beyond...
I'll be honest with you, Russ. I hated what I did from day one.
Okay, this is honesty at its best. No,
I mean,
this is great radio right here.
I did stand up under the delusion that it would lead to a sitcom. The first time I did, I said, this is horrendous. I remember the first time I went on the road, I said, this can't be right.
You were never happy up there.
In a fucking hotel room.
Dan Natimer was never happy up there.
No, I'll tell you what. Now, that said, where I am happy is when the show is over and I get to have a drink. And maybe a pretty young lady will say that I was funny, and that's even better.
That's as honest as it gets.
Being on stage, I never liked it.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I think that a lot of us who wanted to do stand-up, we all wanted to get a TV show, which is why, Richard, I think you mean so much to us because yours is the part that we always kind of dreamed we would get through doing stand-up. For real. Like, that was exactly you would hope you would get the coolest... You know, next door neighbor, bachelor, dating girls. I mean, it was that's the perfect part for all of us who were trying to do stand up.
Yep.
You know,
you're right.
I don't think we ever thought we might be leads.
And you were tremendous at it. Tremendous.
You were the best.
Thank you.
I got two words for comics who want to do sitcoms. Jimmy Brogan.
Oh,
ring
my
a bell
God.
At all? That out does, of the blue?
Wait, out of the blue. That was the worst thing. Okay, you win.
Okay.
But he was the lead, so that was no good.
It just if you're a successful stand-up does not make you a successful actor in a sitcom.
He played an angel, I think, right? An angel?
No, I know it doesn't make you a successful actor, but we were hoping to be a successful actor.
I've said that to Dan a million times, that these people, that stand-up comedians, they become comic actors, but that doesn't mean, I mean, it had nothing to do with their stand-up, so I'm not really sure what the relationship
stand-up,
is.
No, but the relationship is twofold. Number one is it gets you noticed. This whole half of this business is about getting noticed. The
More
other
than
half
that.
Is at least 70% is about getting noticed. 30% is can you do the job?
Yeah. Right.
In addition to which, a stand-up can deliver funny lines. Generally speaking, we have a feel for funny lines. Just like you were talking about, you have a feel for harmony. You can sing harmony. It comes natural to you.
Yeah, it does, Dan.
Okay.
Natural.
But, we can deliver a funny line. Usually know how to deliver it. Now, there's some comics that don't know how to deliver a funny line.
Lenny Marcus is sitting right here.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. How the residuals been, by the way? You're still getting residuals. No, we're talking. No,
that's a good segue, which tells me a lot about your act.
Well, you're right.
How are residuals
been? If by that you mean I have rough transitions, you're perfectly right.
I'm okay.
And
I have two.
I mean, you're right. You hit the nail on the head.
I told you that occasionally I'll get a foreign residual. A foreign residual is like eight countries in Europe. It comes on a pink sheet. As soon as I see the pink sheet, I know that the total of like 300 different viewings in five different countries is going to be $18.22.
Two threes company things, and I don't know if it's not appropriate to say. So the first thing is, I was a kid when Three's Company was on. And Three's Company, and this is not unique to Three's Company. It happens to the Bee Gees. Certain things actually had a bum rap at the time they were on, even though they're tremendously successful.
Yeah.
And Three's Company was kind of considered like that.
That was hated by the critic.
Yeah. But in retrospect, people have recognized that John Ritter was really a genius comic actor who somehow wasn't recognized at the time as being what he was.
He was
every bit as
he was.
No, you're too young. You're not my age. Unless you want to. The critics weren't lauding John Ritter, who was kind of like another Lucille Ball in terms of his gift.
Richard and John were best pals.
So what do you have any?
Speaking of Lucille Ball, you know she actually did one of our shows. She did a retrospective.
That's right. I remember that.
And that was one of the great thrills of my life, meeting her.
She was a great. So, but you disagree with what I just said?
No. The show was lambasted by the critics. There was also a lot of pressure from I don't know, Jerry Falwell or the Christian right. It was like the show's too provocative, blah, blah, blah. And all it did was, you know, be number one, two, or three week in and week out. I think John was recognized as a wonderful physical comedian, even more so with the duration of the show. I mean, the show lasted 8 years. He was considered like, you know, Dick Van Dyke-ish,
right?
With his use of his body.
But the critics loved Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, know? Yeah. And I'll tell you, working on the set, working with John is like any actor will tell you who's willing to admit it, that you pick up stuff from other actors. Right. Yeah. I mean, I did three Mauds with B. Arthur. I sat in the rehearsal room and I watched her timing. It's like, you can't freaking buy that.
She was great.
You cannot buy that kind of timing. And I watched her takes and I watched her stuff.
B. Arthur was great.
And I absorbed that. So, you know, that was an education for me.
I remember later, I don't remember what it was, but he did another role after Three's Company, which was a little bit more serious.
Hooper?
I don't know. And then he got a lot of praise for it. And people kind of like, oh my God, this guy's really talented.
He did the movie Sling Blade.
Was that what it was? Maybe Sling Blade.
That got him
John
a lot
Ritter
of a,
Sling Blade?
That got him a lot of
what
acclaim
part did he
for,
play in Sling Blade?
For his regular acting. But people were always trying to find a place for him because they think they did
know that
he was kind of a genius and he was beloved. So they kept coming up with shows from like Hooper or Hearts of Fire, and they just never resonated. But he was so beloved, and then he finally get the 8 Simple Rules, which was working, but still not up to his caliber of comic genius. But he never hit. But that's why they kept giving him shows. They're like, it's gonna work. We're gonna find one. And I think if he were to survive, I think he it would have all worked out. Like he would have been, what?
8 Simple Rules was a hit, no?
It was a hit, but I'm saying, like, you know, it was a hit, but for us that knows he's kind of a comic, it was just a regular sitcom. It just wasn't because of him.
Yeah. I mean, how many times can you do
because
an
remember,
iconic sitcom?
Because remember, he got replaced, and it still lasted. It's not his fault. It's just they found, you know, he made some money, but it wasn't showing his true comic greatness.
He was
a problem child. All this stuff was nonsense. He was great, and he was a good friend. And he was all that, and he was a nice guy, right?
He was a terrific guy.
Like, everybody wanted to work with him.
It came across on screen that he was a nice guy.
Sling Blade was probably the second greatest thing he ever did. Because you could see how talented he was.
You know who I never liked? I never liked Felipe the Salad Man. If you remember from the... That son of a bitch, I never liked that guy.
Right. The other thing...
Remember Felipe the Salad Man?
Yeah, of course. I didn't like the owner of the restaurant.
Mr. Angelino.
I hated him.
He stunk, too.
You really are a super fan.
Mr. Angelino.
I'm not a super fan. I'm an American. I grew up in the 70s, and we all loved that show.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about... The Suzanne Summers, what did she hold out for more money or whatever it was, and then leaving the show, became kind of a classic example of something I've seen, you know, since then play out a million times of somebody who just seemed to overestimate their worth to something.
It's very common in Hollywood.
It was common. I've had it with musicians. Yeah. It's not a unique phenomenon in almost any context.
Yes.
At the time it was happening. At the time it was happening, were you guys scared that this was going to cripple you guys, or did everybody know we're going to be fine without her?
Yeah.
Well, when the producers fired her, it was like the show was like number one in the country, number two, whatever. And then that's when they had 3 channels or whatever, four with Fox.
Amazing.
No, that was before Fox.
Before with
whatever, probably
PBS.
Before Fox. Yeah, you're right, before
that's
Fox.
When you were a star, you were a star.
Okay, so, when she was fired, we thought, is this going to hurt the ratings? And it turned out that first Jenny Lynn Harrison and then Priscilla Barnes, a generic blonde, didn't matter. The show still...
Yeah.
And the great thing about John was that in the 8th year, he said, you know what? I don't want to do anymore because I don't want us to take a nosedive and, you know, be like 25th or 28th in the ratings every week. So let's...
Which would be coveted today, by the way.
But then why did he do Three's a Crowd then if he felt that way?
Well, he did Three's a Crowd probably for a crap load of money. I was offered Three's a Crowd and I didn't take it because I did a pilot with Shelley Fabre called His and Hers for CBS.
I like Shelley Fabre's jugs. Is that a
nice,
line? It's a line from Greece.
Okay. Why don't we try like a series of conversation stoppers? We'll start with.
How can you say you're not a comic?
We'll start with how many residuals are you getting, and then we'll go. We'll segue to Shelley Fabre's show. Teen Angel, baby. She anyway, sang Teen Angel. Did you know that?
Teen Angel.
Can you hear
me? From Greece.
Yeah. Suck my. Well, I'm sorry.
Oh. Wow.
By the way, the alternative lyric to our theme song was, "Come and sit on my face."
Well, what was the name of the pilot you did with Shelley?
His and Hers.
You want another drink? You want another drink?
No, I'm good.
No, come on. What are you drinking?
No, I'm good.
What are you drinking?
I'm good because if I have another drink, I'll reveal secrets.
That's what I was hoping.
And I didn't want to do that.
Please do that.
No, I'm good. I'm a Jew. We don't drink. Thank you, Dan.
That was another thing I noticed about The Godfather. Like, it's all like nerdy Jews playing all the. Is that by design?
What are you talking about?
No, that's just the way it is for me. I only know, nerdy Jews
and Russ
and Russ and Russ
and Russ Artie.
And the irony is that Sonny was played by a Jew. The Godfather.
I know. Don't figure. Well, all the best Italians, Henry Winkler. They were all played. All the really great Italians were really played by Jews.
Well, not Rocky Balboa.
He was the real thing. That's why he should have won that Oscar last year. I'm still angry about it.
By the way, Richard Klein is flirting with one of his acting students. Richard Klein, now you're an acting teacher now. And
yeah.
The worst we got a problem. Talk about underrated Sylvester Stallone.
I'm still angry about it.
What a fucking guy.
I'm still angry. So underrated. He should have won last year because you know what? That British guy won. This guy created two iconic American characters. How do you not just throw him an Oscar? Sorry, I got to relax.
Rambo.
And Rocky.
And Rocky.
He created the role he was playing. He wrote it. He created. I don't see any of those idiots doing that who win. That British guy didn't create anything.
He sat down. He wrote those scripts. He held out for the part. He worked out like a dog, getting himself to like 2% body. I mean,
that's
like,
right.
What have you done lately? Like, the fucking guy worked like a dog.
You can't throw him an honorary Oscar?
It's like a Navy SEAL, but in Hollywood.
Do you think that was Leonardo DiCaprio's best work? They threw him an Oscar. It was time to win for this stupid movie he was doing. They should have given him. I'm still very angry, obviously. I got to relax.
While we have Russ Meneve here, and he's drunk and high.
Drunk and high.
I got called for an interview from a British newspaper this week.
Yep.
Asking about the great comedian strike of 19 or 2000.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
That Russ Meneve.
That's right. He organized.
The Norma Ray of
really?
Stand-up comedy.
I can't believe you let him play here.
Organized. Him and Ted Alexandro decided that, $15 wasn't enough for a spot. I don't know what it was. And
crime.
They had statistics and cost of living and graphs and bars.
I did all that.
This is actually a fascinating thing for people who are into stand-up comedy.
Fascinating, and Russ will go down in comedy history in New York City as one of the great people.
There's a Wikipedia page about it.
Because people, first of all, stand-up comics, let me be the first to say, at all the other clubs in town, They really don't make very much money.
No,
we're by far the highest paying club.
By far is a bit of an exaggeration. You are the highest paying club, however.
We pay like $50 more on a weekend spot.
How is he on this show?
It's like we pay like 50% more.
By far.
By far. Fuck by you, far. Dan Natterman.
By far.
Wow. That was sincere, too. I know, he's nasty.
I'm not nasty. You said by far.
They 75, we pay 125.
If you do by a percentage... percentage.
I guess you're dealing
almost double.
Yeah, Dan, that's by far.
You get treated better here than anywhere else. Are you kidding me?
But anyway, what is it like?
Why does Lenny have a mic? We invited Dave Juskow.
Because Juskow
we have a very strict policy here. We only have
don't tap me on the thing. Did you not say come in?
So can we ask? Is it interesting
at
all?
I like sharing my mic. Lenny is the greatest guy, so I like
hold
sharing.
Hold on. Is it? I think the comedy strike is interesting.
Yes, go ahead.
And for you guys to talk about how you feel about the clubs and how you feel about the fact that
it was a very important thing at the time because comics were making we barely get by now. So that raise, there was no raise for comics for 25 years.
Yep.
And that raise.
What
that
were they
happened,
making at the time?
They were making like $5 a spot at times.
Not here, but go
here was like 15. Yeah. Here was actually like food spots for a while. After midnight, you got paid food. Yeah. So I would sit with Russ till 2 o'clock in the morning watching Russ eat. And Judah Friedlander would take food home. And before midnight, before it was like what? $15? So. It was ridiculous. And then now we got. When was the thing? The coalition.
It had to be at least seven years ago.
7 years ago.
Hold on,
Dan. Let me just finish this one point.
Hold on, you shouldn't have a mic for God's sake.
If they don't do that one thing, we'd still be getting that $15. Nobody would have done that. So thanks to Russ and all those people, we make something ridiculous. And now everybody's afraid to do it again, but it should be done again.
Whoa!
Wait a second.
That's okay, I can edit it
but
out.
But at least Noam knows and has incrementally kind of raised and
really
set
has
the bar
and
for the rest of New York City. Thank God.
And I've called Esty every time and said thank you.
Don't thank
every
Esty. Time. She has nothing to do
okay,
with it.
Well, give me your direct line and I'll call you and thank you. But I said thank you every time because it means a lot. I know.
It means a
huge
amount.
Now you've really upset me. Because you didn't call me. You think Esty...
I feel like you don't want to hear from me. No,
I'm sorry I gave Lenny the mic. I didn't know he was going to say that it needs to be changed again. I had no idea.
But I will say thank you very much.
I really wasn't going for that. I really want you to talk about... give people who are listening an inside view because they think they don't understand the world of stand-up comedy and they're interested in that, like how little the pay is, what motivates you guys to work for so little pay, what a struggle it is to get extra $5 out of the club, you know, whatever you want to say about it.
Well, I think when somebody enters into stand-up comedy, they're not really thinking about the mathematical odds of it. So they're thinking they're going to make it. They're inspired. They're very young. And I'm feeling this moved for a reason. And I go into it, and I'm going to be something. So that kind of sets you on a trajectory that...
Did you just say projectory?
Projectory.
That's not a word.
Projectory?
It's not a word. Never has been.
Projectory.
Trajectory. It's like strategery. It's okay. Trajectory. Trajectory. It's okay. Go ahead.
He's so what is good it? Looking.
Trajectory. Sorry.
Leave it to now.
I'm a little drunk. I'm drunk. Trajectory. He's right. You don't even look it up.
All right. Go ahead.
On a trajectory that you're in and you're gonna make it and that's it and that
if I can just add to that
trajectory, don't even look, Lenny. I know I'm drunk right now, but anyway, go ahead.
No, it's the reason we don't ask for more money is because we figure, hey, another 6 months I'll be a star anyway.
Let me ask you a question, Richard, as a non stand up. Okay, you guys are talking about $5 a shot, $15, $20. What's the next step? How do you get to the next level where you're making bucks? And I'm not talking about TV. I'm talking about headlining, whatever. How does that happen?
I would say Lady Luck has to step in. That's my opinion.
Well, you know, nowadays, basically, the big money in stand-up is being made because you can fill a theater. And you got to get famous in order to fill that theater.
But how do you do that?
That's the question. Now, some people get famous just based on their stand-up. Almost impossible to do, but it's been done. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I just don't have that kind of mass appeal.
Yeah.
I need to get my...
I disagree.
Well, there's stuff like... Well, I need to find did Last Comic Standing help people?
Why don't you agree with me then? It's luck has to step in your life.
Hold on.
One at a time.
All the successful people love to say, it was hard work. You know what? Everybody's working hard. At some point, you need to be encouraged, and you need to have luck step in, and that's it. Work... fucking horseshit, please.
And you also need a day job, which is and not a joke. That's what you have to do when you're an actor. You're starting out as an actor. Yeah. You have to have a day job.
Well,
what about like exposure, like Last Comic Standing, something like that? Does that help?
No, but when you hear about Warren Beatty having his first audition, right? And Warren Beatty, his first audition for a movie, hired, boom, that's it. I'm sorry about that. I knocked over a drink.
He was Warren Beatty.
But at some point, like, we have all these years in, somebody has to step in and say, boom, and that's it. You have to get lucky and encourage at some point.
What is Warren Beatty's first audition? What happened?
His first movie role audition, he booked it. And then he was on his way. So at
he
some
was
point,
gorgeous.
Okay, so at some point, luck has to step in. Do you not agree? Come on, I've seen you on
right
Three's Company.
Right place, right time.
You were amazing on Three's Company. You hit your marks.
I was, hold on.
At some point,
Russ, listen.
I personally was, and you know, there's 1,000 stories in the Naked City, but I was a classical actor doing fucking Shakespeare in Washington, D.C. before I moved to Hollywood. I went to Hollywood. And I did, my first show ever was the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And I had audition for it. Boom. Okay, great. Nobody discovered me. And then I did 3 mods for Norman Lear. Nothing happened. And then I go for a guest spot on Three's Company. It wasn't a regular. I went up for a guest spot, and they They said, oh, you and John have really great rapport, blah, blah, blah. And then they brought me back. And
okay, do you know how often that never happens to people?
Huh?
You know how often that never, ever, ever happens? So at some point, things out of your control, chance, whatever you want to call it, step in.
Yeah, but Russ, you got to have the craft before you get lucky.
I know. First of all, I got to disagree with it because there's people in my acting class, I was in tears with their talent.
Yes.
I was blown away, and I never saw them again ever.
Russ,
At some point, chances to step in. Yes.
You're saying you need to have the craft in order to get the luck.
Yes.
Look.
I don't even think that.
Hold on, Russ. Now I want to separate something.
It increases your luck.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Acting in some way, I suppose you do need the luck of falling into a project with a writer and a director who will give you the opportunity to shine. Because you can be a brilliant actor, but if you're stuck in a shitty movie.
Yeah.
But stand-up comedy, especially today, you guys all go out on the on YouTube and in the internet and all the things like that. And things go viral, and that's very much a meritocracy.
I have another.
Okay,
can I make one other point, Russ?
I'm gonna solidify this right now.
One quick point.
And then let me do one more.
There's one thing that we're not talking about. We're not talking about creating your own freaking breaks, meaning writing your own.
Successful people always say this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like now, as opposed to any time in the world, you can distribute your product to the world,
yes.
And if they like it, they like it, and that's not luck.
Okay. Well, me and Dan have had this discussion before.
You are a couple of faggots.
I'm gonna say it perfectly right now, and as concisely. And remember this line that I'm about to say. Talent. Hold on. You can laugh all you want. Talent.
Comedy plus time.
Hold on. No, hold on.
If it bends.
Talent. Dan, jump in if you agree. Talent buys you more lottery tickets. It doesn't guarantee you a win. And that is as concisely as I can say it.
I agree with Russ.
Talent will give you more tickets, but does not guarantee a win, and that's just the way it is.
It's a balance because...
How can you argue that?
I'll tell you why. Because Eddie Murphy was going to be a fucking star, all right? Right. Eddie Murphy was going to be a star.
Eddie Murphy had just about every ticket that could be sold. Is what I'm saying.
Eddie Murphy, at some point, the talent is so undeniable.
You know the percent. How many guys are like that? That have Chappelle talent? That have the Eddie Murphy talent?
That's a prodigy talent.
It's crazy talent. That almost never happens. But I'm saying, generally speaking, more talent gets you more lottery tickets. Doesn't mean you're hitting. And that's as concisely as I can say it.
Yeah, but you're right. When
Eddie Murphy's a bad example because he's so retardedly
talented. No, what you're saying is that when your talent is undeniable.
Yeah, but it's almost never undeniable.
Okay, we're talking about gray areas.
That's not true. It's undeniable for a lot of people. It's undeniable for Stevie Wonder. It's undeniable for Paul McCartney.
Tell me who's going to hit next then.
In comedy.
Among you guys?
Everybody loves it. Everybody loves working backwards.
Please welcome Russ Manee to your stage, everyone.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, I saw you last night.
Yeah. What'd you say?
I saw you last night.
You did. Where'd you see me?
Rocked.
I did?
Improv.
Oh my God! How come we didn't have sex?
I can't hear you, bud.
Well, I had sex with a clown last night. How about that?
Again?
That's your reaction, buddy. This guy's like, big deal, buddy. We all fucked clowns. Get on with your joke. I thought I was getting this really rough hand job. I looked down, my penis was twisted into a giraffe. Not that I'm the best lover. I'm kind of premature in the bedroom. Which I know it's a turn off, the guy's too fast, but if you're single, it really cuts down on the phone sex costs. You know what I'm saying? Hi, this is 1-900-CHICKS. This is Kathy, and I've been naughty. What do you want? All set, Kathy. Thank you very much. Well, how about all this chaos in the world, sir? Isn't it awful? But guys, no, I'll just move it along. Anyway, hey guys, help me out on this. With all the chaos and the freak random disorder, isn't it amazing how absolutely perfect that seam is that runs down your nutsack? Come on, this crazy world we're living in, the one thing we can rely on is the straightness of the seams that run down our nutsacks. It's like a lighthouse in the storm, just bringing it home. Wasn't that a funny one, miss? Well, stop coming to my shows all the time. How about that? If you stop stalking the comedian, you won't hear the same material over and over again. I'm at home. I better write new material for my stalker tonight. Unbelievable. Right, miss? Did you get that joke about the seam down on the nuts?
Tell me who's hitting next then.
No, I don't want to say names out loud.
All right, go ahead.
But there are people who, when I saw them, I said, oh, there's no question this guy is going forward.
Okay, after and you tell me did. Who they are, tell me who the next people are, and then we'll talk
but
in
there,
a year.
But there is also, on the other hand, something true to what you're saying, and I've said this on the radio before, that there are people who are considered at the top of their field right now, who at the time, before they were famous, when they were working here, nobody was saying, like, holy shit, he's a genius. But now they are regarded as geniuses.
That's
so
right.
That does exist. I can't deny it.
Okay.
I mean, you know, but they're both true. But I think that there is more, it is more of a meritocracy. The world is more of a meritocracy than you are giving it credit for.
Okay. No, I believe it is a meritocracy, but luck plays a critical part.
Wait, Colin Smith, the musician, wants
Colin, get in
no,
here.
Whoa.
Let's get some handsome in here.
All right, hold on a second.
Okay, I'm finished, Dan. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, let the scheduled co-host and or guest speak before you invite somebody in. Well, you know, I know it does sound harsh, Richard, but you can't have a complete free-for-all.
But
you can't just have a complete free-for-all.
Yeah, but Danny,
if you let him speak, it wouldn't be a free-for-all.
Colin has a man bun. Give him a fucking break, would you?
Colin has enough going for him. He's gorgeous. He's dating a beautiful woman. I have nothing.
You're also doing a podcast at the Comedy Cellar, a live podcast. It's supposed to be a
radio show.
When
I have something to say, should I get maybe a little priority over somebody that's... I mean, if... Then I'm not a guest. Then I'm... You know what? I'm not at the co-host anymore. I'm just a regular once in a while guy.
You're the best.
I wasn't saying
like it's about luck. I was saying that Dan Natterman is the best. That's what I was saying.
Finally
you could sell
like
out
Colin
a theater, and I love you.
Shut up.
That's what I was saying.
Juskow, that
we
was
have
horrible.
To have some, we have to have some order.
That was terrible, Juskow.
Dan, I know you're all ready to go. Exactly what everybody was saying. You just need that little luck. You have the tickets in place. If somebody, for some reason, some agent was in the crowd tonight during that show, and they started like,
why?
I got a party.
You can say that Dan has a large amount of lottery tickets.
Why
given
we, why yeah, we right? not ask Lenny to be on this show?
Why are you yelling at me?
Did we not ask Lenny to be on this show? That was a joke, Lenny.
Because he's a truth teller.
The whole time I kept saying
it.
Lenny shouldn't be on the show.
That's right, I got
now
it.
You're complimenting me, and I said, why
let
did
me get
we not invite Lenny?
Danny.
Let me finish complimenting.
Danny and Russ.
Yes.
Let me address something about luck and lottery tickets and all that wonderful fucking Deepak Chopra
shit.
Oh,
shit.
But you knew the last year of The Godfather and this year of The Godfather that you would be featured. So why the fuck did you not have invited people down to freaking see you? Casting directors, managers, whatever the fuck. I don't know who's representing you. At this point, I think I might be the Good Humor Man, but I'm not sure. But I'm being serious. If I'm going to be making an appearance, I'm going to go, let me invite, you know, Ron Meyer, whoever the fuck, Universal. Have somebody come down and see me, and then maybe something will happen, or maybe not.
Yeah.
But that's increasing your luck.
I can't argue that. I just figured this is... David Jesko's goofy show. I didn't take it seriously.
but you don't know what they're coming to see.
Can we explore that for a second? There's certain guys that are very humble and shy about their talent.
Yeah.
Before Colin gets on the mic, Colin is a musician. Now, I would rather focus our conversation on what it takes for a comedian to make it, and most of us agree that with some mixture of luck and talent. Now, music... is another field which I don't know about firsthand. It's always been my assumption and my supposition that music is more of a talent-based system if you can write a great song. I've always thought that if you can write a killer song, you cannot be denied. Now, I may be completely wrong, but that's what I've always... In other words, I've always thought, what are the chances you're going to walk into a bar one day? You're walking along, you're walking to a bar, you see this group, no one's ever heard of them. It's the fucking Rolling Stones. They fucking lace in to fucking Start Me Up, Tumbling Dice, Angie, Wild Horses, etc., etc., etc. Satisfaction. And no one's ever heard of these guys.
Wait. Colin Smith has been waiting patiently. Let Colin talk. Go ahead.
I haven't had a fever to speak, but since you bring up the musician
realm. I may be wrong.
Realm,
I'm willing to learn.
Well, since the comparison, since you brought it up, since you think that coming from the comedic field, that you think that that the musician side is a meritocracy. I remember sitting with Noam and Alan Carr, right? I believe it was Alan Carr. Alan Carr is a different English comic. Anyway, Jimmy Carr, we were all sitting and we were talking about how, you know, either field gets on. And Jimmy Carr was pretty adamant that it was very clear that the comics way forward was more clearly a meritocracy because it's obvious when you hit because you get laughs. Whereas, you know, you can have great songs and you can have great performances and stuff like that, but nothing is given. It seems like in the realm of comedy clubs, you have a very solid kind of bunch of assets by having killer shows that gets you recommended and you get to better clubs and all of a sudden you're killing here. And if you kill on the regular with absolute solid responses, then that's truly what gives rise to your fame. As long as the work ethic, like you said, you know, the ability to promote yourself and get people down and stuff. Whereas you can, believe me, I've gone through it where I've, you know, had years of like killing shows and calling people down, doing all the rest of it, and it doesn't necessarily amount to much.
Dan, I think you've just been taken to school.
Dave, will you introduce her? Introduce her.
Oh, yes. This is Jenny Lynn Rodriguez. She is
Rodriguez.
Gorgeous.
Hi.
Yes, I know. It's so funny. She doesn't know.
I'm a white Rican.
She's lovely. She's gorgeous.
Puerto
She's
Rican.
A wonderful actress. She was playing Kay Adams today.
Thank you.
And she is a protege and a student
of the match game. Yes.
She's a protege of Richard Klein.
3 years in August.
Protege, is that what they call it now? Go ahead. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes. Three blessed years in August. I've been working with my mentor, thank God. So I not to name drop right after dropping Richard Klein's name, but my uncle is Michael McDonald of the Doobie Brothers.
Really?
Hell,
one of my favorites.
Yes. Hell yes. And I can speak to this music question because my uncle told me.
Is he the guy with the high voice that goes, hey, yeah, no, 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 no.
I would say that voice is low. Don't you think that's husky? He is one of the most imitated men in the world, but my uncle told me. My uncle Michael McDonald told me that they hated Keep Forgetting. They thought it was a lark. They thought it was stupid.
I'm not in love anymore.
All right.
And he said, you can never know what the public will want. And that's just my two cents because that was, I think, their biggest hit with him as the lead. And they all didn't want to do the song. They hated it. They thought it was stupid. They thought other
songs
would be...
Well, I have a similar story. My uncle, Wilbur Berger, manufactured the furniture maker in Montreal. And he knew that bunk bed would be a big hit.
I think that Colin is right because the comedians who are, for instance, Jon Stewart's a good example.
Yeah.
Everybody knew Jon Stewart was something.
Oh, shut up with that.
Yeah, Dan, you get him.
You shut your mouth with that stupid Jon Stewart.
Yeah. I'm agreeing with Dan. Nobody knew.
Nobody knew shit.
He was a great headliner. People are like, he's going to do the show, the Daily
Listen,
Show.
Listen, if it makes you guys feel better to say that, go right ahead and say it to yourselves. But the fact is, when Jon Stewart first walked in here, Bill Grunfest, who was booking the room at the time, said, he's going to be a big star. And then everybody knew the guy was something special. He got three, four different shows before the show that he needed finally took
off.
I've
heard that about other guys, and I'm not going to name names. And your father even said about a few different people, and the majority of them did not hit.
Who? Say who?
I'm not going to say the name.
Name names. What a pussy.
No, I'm a pussy.
You're right, Dave.
But I'm just telling you.
I had a cooking show on the Food Network, and it didn't get picked up.
But I'm saying that. Tell me who's next.
There are examples of guys, and I don't want to name names, but of somebody who everybody thought was going to be a star who didn't actually become a star.
Yeah.
Nevertheless,
no,
they were
right
every,
here.
The fact is that.
Well, will you name names or no?
I'll tell you when we get off here.
All right.
But the fact is that there's a small group of people who are able to generate the kind of energy.
And Jon Stewart is not one of those people.
Matter, get him! Letterman.
Why do you say that?
He's not that explosive, genius of a talent.
You didn't see him. John Stewart
he's just
is not.
Well, now he's a decent talent. He's a talented guy. He's not Eddie Murphy. He's not so explosive that it was inevitable.
It's undeniable, right? Like Chappelle, like Dave Attell, like that kind of talent.
He was a good-looking guy. He had, you know, no, he got into.
You're wrong. You didn't see him when he started out.
All right, then who's next then, no?
Well, first, I've seen him now that he's not started out, and I still say he is not an explosive, unbelievable.
I've never seen that of this energy.
Because no one says this all the fucking time.
You have to go?
And poor Richard Klein is leaving.
I love you. I got to go back to Jersey.
Richard, just look me in the eye.
I was born in Jackson Heights.
Look me in the eye, Richard, and tell me you're not leaving because of me. But I feel like you're thinking this guy... I feel like you're looking at me like this guy is a Meshuggah and I gotta go.
You know what? I thank you for using a smattering of Yiddish because we're both Landsmen and that's a good thing.
But you're a veteran.
Yeah, but can I say something in Yiddish?
Of course.
Brechen, which means I could throw up. Look it up. Dan, you're gonna be a star in your own fucking shower.
That's a pretty hard slam, Dan.
Dan, come to my class. You can work with Jenny Lynn and get that out of your system, all right? No, seriously. Come to my class. I'll teach you how to do stuff.
What's the tuition cost for your class?
$45 for 2 hours.
Richard, I'm sorry.
That's it?
It's 2.5
I don't need the money.
It's very generous.
$45? I will pay Dan Natterman's tuition for your class.
Wow. I've taken that class. I've taken it. It's a lot of fun.
$45?
I'm sorry, Richard.
But don't be sorry. Take the freaking class and see if you like it.
I'm sorry if you felt uncomfortable.
I didn't feel uncomfortable.
He doesn't feel uncomfortable. He's got to
go back to Jersey. That's for real. You don't understand. You've been a Manhattan boy.
I have a house. I have a cat. I have a barbecue. I don't feel uncomfortable.
Dan Natterman's been brought up on privilege. He doesn't understand having to go back to New Jersey. He's a city boy.
Jessica, you're really sandbagged Natterman.
Well, we want to thank Richard Klein.
Thank you, Dan.
And you have white privilege, Dan.
And
you have
we
want
to thank Jenny Lee. I don't know if Jenny Lee's leaving or not.
No, she's not leaving.
Jenny Lynn, I'm sorry.
Jenny Lynn, you're welcome to stay. Thank you, Noam, for embarrassing me in front of the great Richard Klein. And I'll tell you why you embarrassed me.
Because
you knew that's my fucking Achilles heel when you mentioned John Stewart. And you knew it. You know that's my fucking Achilles tendon.
He loves you.
You sound like Donald Trump.
Go take his class. That's a really nice offer.
Well, fine. I'll take his class or I won't take his class. Or I may or may not take his class.
Oh, God.
Dan, I love you. You are one in a fucking trillion. You are the best.
But you're wrong about John Stewart. No. You know that's a... Wait, Russ Meneve.
Yeah.
Russ Meneve.
He's so good looking.
Oh,
my friends are always like, I don't even picture James Caan anymore. I only picture Russ Meneve.
Russ.
Yes.
Your comments on the John Stewart question.
What's the question?
The question is this an explosive, inevitable, undeniable talent?
I could tell you 1,000 ways why John Stewart didn't make it.
If he did not make it, you could tell me.
Well, I'm being facetious.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why John Stewart didn't make it, much like many people. Now, can I say the same for Dave Chappelle, Eddie Murphy, several others? No. John Stewart could have easily not made it, and anybody that says they saw it coming, I challenge them and say, who is next?
Why is it so fucking hard to replace him on a Daily Show then?
Well, that's true, but he might have...
No, because
Russ
anybody...
might be right. The first time I met him right over here, Panchito's, coming out of work, and Attell goes...
He was a busboy, Panchito.
Yeah, he was a busboy, and he comes, and Attell goes, hey, this is John Stewart, you guys probably like each other, he hates comedy also. So you're right. I mean, it's like he hated comedy. He didn't like doing it, but he was so goddamn good at it that it all worked out. I was apparently bad at it, so it didn't work out.
Well, I'll tell you, I watch you and I love what you do as a stand-up comic.
You guys are wrong about John Stewart.
What are we wrong about exactly?
He's not Chappelle. He's certainly not Eddie Murphy. That's a different kind of performance talent.
Well, what does he have that's so...
So you would hire him for the Daily Show based on what?
I would hire John Stewart. Well, he was always into politics. He's always obsessed with that. But as what I said still stands, he's very, very... I mean, Geraldo's dead. Geraldo could have done that show.
Right.
Other than Geraldo...
But Geraldo had many failed projects.
That's why...
Yes. But was Geraldo a huge talent?
Yeah, huge.
Is that why they gave him so many More chances?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's my point.
But I'm funnier than him because he's dead and we were on Star Search together. No, it's like the thing where people were like, you know, who's funnier? But I'm funnier now because he's dead and we were on Star Search together. So I win. You're welcome, America.
By the way, I want to go back to Richard Klein.
Now that he's not here.
And some of the things he said before leaving.
Lovely.
I believe when he said, come to my class and learn something, what I heard was, you he stunk it up tonight.
No, you're so,
you stunk it
Dan,
up.
Dan, you're so crazy. You were wonderful this evening. He loves you. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met. All of you guys, I love you so much. Dan, you're wrong about that. He thought you were great.
Listen,
thought the same thing Jenny Lynn told
me.
No,
I'm going to say you guys. The difference between stand-up comedy and acting, and he was just saying, I do acting. I don't do stand-up. I'll give you some pointers.
I'm going to save you guys all a lot of money. I watch Richard Klein and Artie and the rest of it.
He's
and also the same thing for music.
Amazing.
All you need to do, breathe. That's the difference between those actors and the comics and the same thing with musicians. Just... a little slower, a little bit more deliberate, and that is the difference.
You're
don't
right.
Go fucking class.
Just sorry, like, can I just interrupt? I've never heard anybody speed up tempos like this fucker here. So.
That's true, though. That's true.
He'd been rushing every fucking Godfather song.
He just declawed your entire
white.
Argument.
No, he didn't claw the argument.
You're
he
very
did,
white.
That's a Goyish cop. What he said was that I am like you guys, not like the big okay. talents. He didn't declaw the argument. No. He just put me in the other camp.
Okay. No, I know what you're saying, though. I know what you're saying. It's very much like we're comedians. We need laughs all the time, so we speed it up until the laughs come. And Richard doesn't. He's used to acting, so he's able to take the breath. You're absolutely
he took
right.
The breath.
Yeah.
So you don't need the breath. You don't need the class. Just take the breath.
But we're all nervous. They're like, why aren't people laughing at this line? Let's move on quickly to the next one.
That's right.
I'm the same way.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, but the class is so good.
Now that Richard's not here, he does seem to take a particular interest in some of his students.
Oh, well, shit.
He's just like Larry. He's not an idiot.
Did
you see the other girl that took our picture today? That's a class. That's a student as well.
Am I seeing
he's
something
not stupid.
That's not there? Or is
I'm not a student.
Oh, no, what
It's not an ethical labs.
I'm the assistant.
But that's how you met. But didn't you meet as students, though?
Okay, we met. He was giving a class in New York Castings, and I was coming out of an audition in one of the little shitty rooms there. And he was standing there, and somebody was saying to him, I'm so sorry, Richard. I wanted to get you a female reader. You have so many males in your class. I'm so sorry. And I just stood there like a little tart, twisting my hair, going... Oh, you do classes here?
Oh, shit.
And he said, miss,
so
what do you...
So it is calculated.
Yes, yeah, on my part, but not on Richard's necessarily. And he said, would you mind being a reader for me tonight? And I said, no, I don't mind at all. I have nothing to do.
Can I ask you a question as a woman?
Yeah.
Do you believe that if the most righteous, moral man in the world, if he comes up against the wrong, calculated woman... That he is, if he lapses, if he cheats, whatever, that he is a victim. Like, do you believe that you could overcome? Like, Lenny's getting married. Lenny claims he'll never cheat on his wife.
But I believe that because I'm a huge Lenny fan.
But do you think that there is somebody out there who could just fucking just overwhelm
him? I'll take that question.
Why don't you ask Russ?
Everybody has their type.
We know your type.
But everybody has their type that can
it's
break.
It's the one that says trajectory.
Can break them. But I actually think Lenny is unbreakable. I think Lenny's unbreakable.
No, he's not.
In answer to your question, yes. I would say, are there some women who are extremely powerful and can...
Because it would imply that a woman should forgive you.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
No, if you just had sex with another woman, would it be the end of everything?
With my wife?
Yeah.
With the fact that I don't have a prenup and the money she would walk away with? Yes, that would be the end of everything.
But she would never be like, look, we're adults.
No,
it's just
she
sex.
Would not. She's here, I think.
Just to make this modern.
Yeah.
I will say that last year in 2015, and then, this may be shocking to some people, I was propositioned, me personally, by three married couples.
Three. Wow.
Couples.
Couples.
Three couples at once.
To be the third. To just, you know, whatever. So I feel like there are a lot of women out there right now who don't maybe care as much.
Can I finish my thought?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so if your wife did allow you, would you take that opportunity?
The conversation after that.
The fuck?
Yes.
No.
Oh, you wouldn't. Ah, you lying
You're
bastard.
You're such a lying sack.
If my wife allowed me?
Yeah, if your wife said, go ahead, go fool around.
Go ahead, and I don't care. We'll
you answer first, Lenny. You answer first.
She would... let me tell you something about
answer,
my wife.
Answer the question, yes or
my
no?
My future bride would
yes. Hold on, her. Yes. But why is that so bad?
But if she comes up here, don't fucking repeat it.
Okay, I won't.
Sweetheart, this is my wife, Juanita. Say hi.
She's beautiful.
She is beautiful.
Juanita.
Juanita.
Hi.
Okay. So she said, what's your first name again?
Jenny Lynn.
Jenny Lynn.
That's my first name. One word.
She said that if the right woman approaches the right married man and approaches him the right way, he is helpless and he cannot be considered guilty if he lapses because he is just a victim. That's exactly
what?
Am I being inaccurate?
Oh, I don't know. No. Is that
the question
said?
Was...
You must be a Hillary supporter.
No, the question was... No. The question was, are some women powerful enough to overcome a faithful man? And I said, yes, I think some women are.
That's the same thing.
I didn't say it was okay.
No, I didn't say you said it was okay. You said he's a victim. So go ahead. What do you say? So, and then Russ asked me...
This is so hot. She hates Jenny Lynn already.
So Juanita...
She
hold
does.
On.
She
so,
hates me.
So Russ asked me, would your... Hold on. Russ asked me, would if you came across that woman and laughed, would your wife forgive you?
Yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
Wait, Juanita, hold on. Hold on. Look, I respect this more. Uh-huh. But would you... Okay, let me phrase it this way. Would you destroy a marriage for how many years and the children and this whole foundation?
There's no marriage.
Hold on, let me finish.
After that, there's no marriage.
Let me finish.
So I'm not destroying anything.
Over.
I think you got your answer.
What is one night, and he still loves you very much, and it's just sex. Would you destroy the whole thing? Your children,
yes.
Everything. You would.
Yes.
Okay, that's all.
By the way, that may be true, or she may be just saying that as deterrence.
That's right. That's
no,
right.
I'm not
we don't really
that.
Know the answer.
All of a sudden, I was destroying the marriage because my husband cheated.
No, right. No.
How about my husband destroyed the
that's
marriage
fair.
Because he
absolutely.
Cheated?
Absolutely. Yes. I love your passion.
I'm not destroying anything.
Right. Yes. I love your passion.
I'm just not fucking having it.
Can you use your radio
that's
voice,
like,
please?
I mean, there's other women who put up with it. That's their thing. I'm
right.
not saying it's
okay.
right or wrong. For me, there's an absolute... I mean, I'm a kind of Lorena Bobbitt type of chick.
Wow, you hear that? No, I'm here.
I married the one Puerto Rican woman who expects a husband, first of all, to be faithful. It's like...
Well, ask him the question. If I was unfaithful, would he still be with me?
He would be
I
thrilled.
I think he would.
He'd be thrilled because now he's got some get some pussy.
No.
If, sweetheart, if you had sex with Dwayne Johnson, I would forgive you.
Oh, thank you. That should be my one pass.
No one would
Is
be.
Is that different, though, the celebrity pass? Is that
I gave him a celebrity pass. I'm like, if you could get Beyonce,
okay.
You know?
Okay.
My sister wants to have sex with Richard Dreyfuss, and my brother-in-law is totally
my God,
okay
Richard
with that.
Dreyfuss.
Yeah, he's totally okay with that.
You guys have lost your focus.
Hold on.
The point is that she said that she believes that
she
no matter, it could be the Pope, it doesn't matter, that there are certain women out there who are so powerful that they can overcome the morality of any man. And if that's true, that means the man should be forgiven. That was
that
the question.
All I'm
said.
Saying, no.
Point is according to Jenny Lynn's theory of infidelity, every man has a woman that is his
breaking
kryptonite,
point.
Is his breaking
yeah.
point.
But I didn't
now,
say he should be forgiven.
According to Russ Maniv,
but if he can't help himself, how can you not forgive him?
I
well,
didn't say the wife has to forgive him. I'm saying I think there are people who are
very
manipulative and powerful.
We're getting very philosophical.
I'm saying
to Russ Maniv, if we were in China...
Shut up, Duskow. He takes the easy route.
Every Clinton has his Lewinsky.
You're just a fag, Duskow. All I'm saying is everybody breaks up.
Except
the important thing is staying together. and forgiving. That's what I'm saying. But I love your passion about this. Yeah. Really, I really respect it. I really
do. Coming on to my wife.
No. No, Juanita, I really respect it very much. I love that. It's like,
first of all, if you don't love yourself that way, who's going to love you? Why would you put up with that?
This is true romance right here.
I just want to know.
Yeah, Dan needs to talk. He hates this podcast. Everybody's got to relax.
It's a radio show.
Dan, your closing remarks.
Well, are we closing?
Lenny Marcus is my god. Yes. Can I close with that?
We're over time. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, Lenny's a fine man. When you have people like Ryan Hamilton walking this earth, and you have got the balls to say that Lenny is your spirit guide,
yes,
then you, my friend, have lost your way.
But we don't know
how you can compare Lenny to Lenny. Yeah, is a strong college ball player. Ryan is pro. And
no respect, Dan. No,
no
respect.
No, you think you're at Ryan's level of great guy?
I don't know what you want from me, Dan.
What is Ryan doing at fucking Lenny's?
I
not
think
doing?
He is.
Yeah, what is that?
Lenny's
the best.
You? Have I helped you in the past?
What is Ryan?
Has Ryan helped you in the past?
What is Ryan doing at Lenny's not doing?
Ryan has a lovely smile.
If you went to a bathhouse, who would you be more surprised to run into? Ryan Hamilton or Lenny Marcus?
Ryan Hamilton.
I'm saying. More surprised by into Lenny.
Ryan is so purified.
I'm more surprised by Lenny. More surprised by Lenny.
I might even, look, Lenny might be more interesting.
Not that
because
either would be a total surprise.
Lenny.
Yes. I would not be shocked by either one.
I mean, neither would be a Michael Che.
What are you guys doing here?
Lenny might be more interesting because he's a flawed individual and he has more aspects to him. But in terms of,
I don't see these flaws.
What's the matter with you?
But a moment of silence for Ryan Hamilton, who lost his whole hot air ballooning bit.
Yeah, okay.
His whole 50 minutes of hot air ballooning bit this last week.
This last week, those people died of that hot air ballooning.
The first thing I thought of with Ryan Hamilton, poor Ryan.
He's the Von, what's that guy, Von Miller? Who's that guy that had the Kennedy jokes?
I don't know.
Von Meter.
So wait, what does Ryan Hamilton have that Lenny doesn't have?
I was about to address that before. Noam.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I can't wait to hear it.
Go ahead.
Because this podcast has really no order to it.
Oh, damn.
And this is,
which is what's great about it, but go ahead.
I think it could use a little bit more order.
All right, well, stop it. Well,
but
get to the point. Go ahead.
Well, Ryan, have you met Ryan?
I have.
Have you been in his presence for a decent
length?
Yes. And you did not feel moved in any way?
I felt far more moved by Lenny Marcus.
It's just a feeling you get, and I can't describe it.
You better
when
describe
you're in
it.
Ryan's presence.
You're a smart guy. Put it into words.
You know why I'm a better person? I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah.
Because I take more shit from Dan Natterman than anybody.
And Kevin Brennan.
And I just let it go. You know why? Because I love you anyway.
We have to end. And I agree with Dan about Ryan Hamilton. I've actually said that if every comedian actually could tell me what they think of me, the only people who'd be nice to me would be... No, I'm sorry. I got it wrong. Never mind.
The
point is that if every comedian I can't remember how I said it, but the point is it would be Paul Mercurio, Ray Allen, and Ryan Hamilton.
Are you out of your mind?
Because
and
Ryan would be the only sincere one.
That's hilarious. That's a fucking home run over the fence.
All right, you
that's
know
what? A home run over
him.
The fence.
I can't remember how the setup was, but that was the punchline.
I give it to him.
Ryan would be the only one.
Paul and Ray would be sucking up, and Ryan would mean it. Ryan is just a pure soul.
He is pure
Ryan,
soul. I give it to him.
Okay, Lenny, it's no shame.
I give
it's no
title,
shame to
Dan,
be beaten up by Ryan.
You know what? You had such
no
a great
shame.
Night tonight, Dan. I'm going to give you that one.
No shame to be beaten out by the Son of God.
But I see no... I see no evidence of it, but I still have Lenny in the lead until you give a good argument.
You can't compare Lenny to Ryan Hamilton.
I can.
Man, that's awful.
Give me descriptive words that would take Lenny down.
Descriptive word, Messiah.
No, stop it.
Christ killer.
Where's that coming from?
Hamilton killer. All right, we have to go.
All right.
We have to go.
This is great.
Hilarious.
Why, this is the best
great
time
job,
ever.
Great job, you guys, tonight. Seriously.
Juanita, you're amazing.
Easy,
I love the passion.
Easy.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Okay, I do it just to get
don't
her.
Let Russ look at her. Like, yeah. He's got a power.
Well, I'll tell you, Russ Meneve has such an ease with Russ Meneve. You know, when I watch Russ Meneve talk to women, I say, there's a man who is never... heard the word, get away.
By the way, you know
he just left with Jenny Lynn.
He only eats every other day. That's true.
It's amazing. And yet I've seen him chow down unbelievable amounts of food that no human should.
Yeah.
But yet
when I pig out, I pig
his
out.
His physique is unbelievable.
Oh, all right, let's not leave on that. Let's bring up something else.
Well, let's talk about his physique.
Russ has to get to a workout.
It's amazing.
So
no, he only eats every other day, which can't
I
be
know.
Healthy.
Okay, Dan, go ahead.
What was I going to sum this up? Russ Meneve has never... He has never had the horror of a girl saying, my friend is kind of talking to my friend now. We're kind of haven't seen each other in a while. He's never heard that. And he's just, God bless him, he's in bliss. Something else. On the other hand, I will say this about Russ Meneve. He's a tortured... Russ Meneve is the handsomest tortured soul I've ever known.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. Thank
you.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, good night, everybody. Thank you very much. Special thanks to Richard Klein. Good night.
Good night.
Dan Joskow, congratulations.